In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. We come to this passage in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, which is in the New Testament portion of your Bible on page 138, or in the scripture flyer that you may have picked up on the way in at the narthex, or in the Bible that you bring, or in the hearts of those of you who are scripture memorizers. At any rate, we come to this passage in Paul's second letter to the Corinthians at a most intriguing moment, at least for me, in our life as a church. In the 4 weekends leading up to this one, we had 4 funerals, 3 that I oversaw and 1 that Patricia oversaw. 4 funerals give weight to Paul's words today about the notion that being at home here in these bodies means being away from our true home with the Lord. But then these 4 funerals, Bob, Mary, John, and Dottie, lend maybe even more weight to Paul's saying that the point of his life, indeed his life's ambition, is to be pleasing to the Lord, verse 9, whether he's here or there. That means seeing the whole of his life, and by way of imitation, your life and mine as well, as being lived out as though we were already there, already being the complete and whole person that he anticipates waking up as on the other side. Paul calls it being part of new creation. That thought is especially rich when you participate, as Patricia and I and many of you these past 4 weekends, in these crossings over, in these homecomings, because that's the way these 4 beloved members of our congregation had lived. The banner, in fact, that Paul sets over all these verses is verse 17's proclamation of new creation. A verse that I memorized in college and that has anchored my life as a follower of Christ, and one I've meditated on over and over again, having memorized it in these terms. If anyone is in Christ, there's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now, sometimes truths are so close to you and so dear to you, you don't know quite how to explain or how to articulate them. So I ask you to let me meditate without, hopefully, too much rambling on some features of Paul's new creation. This new creation we so strongly sense that these recently departed had enjoyed before going home. At the heart of new creation is what Paul says in verses 14 and 15. Because one, Christ, died for all have died. And he died for all so that we might live no longer for ourselves, but for the sake of the one who died for us and who lives. That new creation truth speaks something for me in my relationship to myself, and something for me in my relation to you. As it relates to me, new creation means I'm not to live for me any longer. As you know, I taught at Reformed Theological Seminary for 25 years, and for most of that time I was the dean of the chapel. While I was there, we designed and built a new chapel. And when the builders had put up the wall board before it was painted, they suggested to the rest of the community that we might have a day in which they would make available to us, you know, those sidewalk chalk pieces, different colors, you know, about 1 inch thick, and just let us all go through and write up on those walls anything we wanted to. I love that amen. Give me a piece of chalk and I'll go to work. And so we did. We took a day in which 150 or so of us took these colored pieces of chalk and went around the building and wrote whatever we wanted to. And I happened to write this verse because it's one of my life verses. If anyone is in Christ, it's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Well, unbeknownst to us, one of the senior members of the faculty at that time, I was at the time a junior faculty, believe it or not, a senior faculty member went through the building at the end of the day just surveying what people had written on the wall. And he came back to us the next chapel meeting with this observation. I was really struck by the fact that on those walls, not a single person felt it was necessary to write their own name. The walls were filled with prayers for the school's ministry and mission and scripture verses. I'm so proud, he said, to be a part of that kind of community where nobody's own name is important. What's important is the mission and the word that under which we carry out that mission. I was and am so grateful to be a part of that community and this community of people living for the kingdom. A reminder to me that life is not for me. That's new creation. Okay, and then as new creation relates to me and my relationship to you, Paul wants me to know that I'm to look at not appearances, but beyond them. Paul says that because Christ has died for all have died. That's why James Weldon Johnson can write the elegant words that we sang on the way in his marvelous hymn to freedom. Lift every voice till earth and heaven ring with the harmonies of liberty, and then close with the request, may we forever stand true to our God and true to our native land. You are no longer defined for me by the terms of this land or any other. You are no longer defined for me by the definitions of this life, by the definitions of success, of external beauty, of your zip code, of your braininess or not, or usefulness, or potential to make me look good, of how to float my boat, of how to build my resume, of how you can satisfy a hidden agenda or a craven desire. Paul tells me I'm to be here for you and how I can build you up in Christ's likeness. You're not here for me and my little kingdom and my little ego. That goes for all of us. God chose David not because he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome, but because the Lord does not look on outward appearance, but on the heart. In David, the Lord knew he had someone he could mold to be a giant killer, a faithful shepherd to his people, and chief repenter in the land when he stumbled. Here in our passage, Paul says he had to learn to look beyond appearances, beyond the show, beyond the face, and look upon the heart. And he had to do that in the first place with Christ, whom he at first took to be a mere man, a false prophet, a fake priest, and a pretender to the throne, until he was shown that Jesus Christ was in fact the God-man, God's true prophet to bring us out of error into truth, God's true priest to bring us out of sin into righteousness, and God's true king to bring us out of death into life. And that changed Paul's view both of himself and of everybody else. what it means for me and my relation to you, and hopefully for you and your relationship to everybody else, is how can I help you taste? How can we help each other taste more sweetly the reality of new creation? As part of new creation, how can I help you to know what Paul calls in verse 17, the fear of the Lord? The realization that one day it will become altogether clear that every day and every act in these bodies matters. It's either a preparation for life with God in paradise or apart from God in the other place. How can I help you? How can we help each other know the fear of the Lord? As part of new creation, how can I help you to know the joy of being fully known by God? That is, being fully opened out to God's view and still being loved by you. That's the nuance of the verb that Paul uses in verse 11. To be manifest to him, to know his gaze and to know it's a smiling, loving gaze. How can I help you believe that his delight truly is in you? That Psalm 20, verses 4 through 5 that we sang together is true for you. May he grant you your heart's desire and prosper all your plans. We will shout for joy at your victory and triumph in the name of our God. May the Lord grant you all your requests. One way, at least, I can do that is to make it as clear as I can that it's for the sake of your own growth that we present opportunities to give. And they are abundant. To serve, and they are needful. To attend, and it is important. But you need to know it's all of it, for your growth into maturity in Christ and for the sake of his kingdom. And as part of new creation, how can I help you be as constrained by the love of Christ as Paul was, verse 14, and indeed as Bob, Mary, John, and Dottie were, so that when people are gathered one day, as they will be, in this place or another, to send you home, that they will say, yes, indeed, loved by and a lover of Christ. My little part in that is to continue to put before you the beauty, the majesty, the humility, and the glory of Christ, died and risen. My little part is to continue to point to him, and with Melito of Sardis to proclaim, this is the Alpha and the Omega. This is the beginning and the end. The beginning indescribable and the end incomprehensible. This is the Christ. This is the King. This is Jesus. This is the Commander. This is the Lord. This is the one who rose up from the dead. This is the one who sits at the right hand of the Father. And to him be the glory and the might forever. Amen.